Now, Roger Goodell, the commissioner, at the podium.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have traded the 7th pick to the Buffalo Bills. With the 7th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Josh Allen, quarterback, Wyoming.
Tre'Davious White, defensive back, LSU.
Jermaine Edmonds, linebacker, Virginia Tech.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. It is Twitter Tuesday, folks. You guys once again brought outstanding items to the table, whether it was a take or a question regarding the Bills, filled up the show once again with outstanding topics, and I'm so thankful for you guys doing that. Keep in mind, if you want your takes or questions regarding the Buffalo Bills, or I guess whatever you would have me talk about, make sure you hit me up on Twitter, at TheJoeMarino, hashtag Twitter Tuesday. Make sure you do both of those things so that I can navigate through them and make sure I compile the full list of everything that's been submitted. And if you do those two things, there's a good chance I won't overlook it. But always thankful, again, for you guys taking the time to send this stuff in and giving me the show that it really consists of what you want to hear about specifically. So I'm very, very thankful for that. And so let's get right into it. The first one here comes from Tony Barton. Tony says, I keep reading reports that John Brown makes it hard for Robert Foster to see the field. Why? Seems like having both on the field creates a ton of problems. I'm with you, Tony. Not sure who's right in that, but I would disagree with that idea. I think one of my favorite things about bringing in John Brown and Cole Beasley to this offense is the spacing problems that you can create for opponents. Now you have two vertical threats in Foster as well as John Brown to really stress defenses vertically down the field, and that opens up a world of possibilities for guys like Zay Jones, guys like Cole Beasley, whoever's playing tight end. So to me, that's one of the biggest appealing aspects of having both of those guys, is putting them both on the field at the same time and creating spacing issues. So I would disagree with that sentiment. I don't think there's a cause and effect there. I think they're both worthy of being on the field, and I think you'll see them both on the field, and I think the spacing issues that I just talked about will exist. Ryan Thomas, he says, I've been curious to see if Buffalo adds a thicker build wide receiver. I know in Carolina there seemed to be liking for big-bodied wide receivers, and I've been wondering if Bean will try to acquire the same type of guy for Allen. Obviously, the Calvin Benjamin experiment didn't pan out with Josh Allen, Obviously, the Calvin Benjamin experiment didn't pan out with Josh Allen's issues with accuracy. I thought a big-body, jump-ball, large catch radius type player could be and play for the Bills. Would love to hear your opinion on whether that might be a potential draft day scenario after they added more speed at wide receiver. Are there any wide receivers that fit the mold that you're high on or could see Buffalo taking a chance on? A guy like Antoine Wesley comes to mind in the fourth or fifth round in a developmental role. So what's so interesting about this idea of adding high variance passers in terms of accuracy, like Josh Allen, like Cam Newton, a bigger bodied wide receiver, is that's exactly what we saw Carolina do right away with Cam, Calvin Benjamin, Devin Funchess. They specifically targeted those guys to be Cam's top receivers. And now Cam's top receivers are DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Jarius Wright, Torrey Smith, right? So a very much a shift in dynamics in terms of going away from those towering receivers with catch radius and getting guys that can separate. I think the best thing you can do for a high variance passer is give them guys that can get open and extend catch radiuses by not having people around them all the time. And so ball skills, separation skills, over size all day long for me. Not saying that it's not good to have size, but separation is better. Size and separation is really great. That's what's really exciting when you compare the two. So, and you saw it with the Bills, right? The Bills had giant receivers in Calvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes, and now it's not at all, right? It's not in terms of just towering receivers. The Bills' current group is not that at all. So I think you've already seen that shift happen with the Bills. So I do think that is what's missing, though. I'm not against having size at receiver, but I do think there has been a clear effort to transition away from that concept that catch radius means the ideal fit for a high variance passer. There are plenty of size receivers that I like this year. Kelvin Harmon from NC State, Hakeem Butler from Iowa State, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside from Stanford. Those guys really come to mind in terms of true size guys. You mentioned Antoine Wesley. Interesting player, really raw. Big jump for him coming from Texas Tech. Probably the fifth round's where I'd feel comfortable. I like him after the catch. He's so leggy. He's very high-hipped, and that causes some issues with his ability to get into, you know, horizontal breaks, and he's not super explosive. So, you know, there's some restrictions there, and he'll need to develop, but he's interesting if the Bills were to go, you know, day three size receiver. Jeremy Baum says, my take is that Kendall Joseph, linebacker from Clemson, will be the next Matt Milano late-round linebacker fined by general manager Brandon Bean in the draft. Well, I don't hate the idea of the Bills going after a linebacker on day three. I think that would make sense. I don't love Kendall Joseph. I think he really blended into a talented defense. I mean, really studs everywhere across the board. And I thought he blended in. He tested very poorly around a 5-flat 40-yard dash. You just don't see a lot of NFL. You don't see any, not a lot of, you don't see any linebackers at the NFL level that slow in today's NFL really succeeding at all. And so I think, you know, the combination of him kind of just blending into a defense where all the players around him were really good, and then him not having the athletic profile, I'm not very high on Kendall Joseph, especially for the Bills, a 4-3 defense where being able to win in space is so important. Todd Sipson says, hey, Joe, really enjoying the pod. I've been reading some say Rashawn Gary can play 3 technique. Your thoughts? Also, do you think the Bills might take Jeffrey Simmons at 40 if he's there, assuming no defensive tackle at 9? Thank you, Todd. Glad you're enjoying the pod. You know, Rashawn Gary, I think there's a reason to believe he could play interior defensive line 3 tech and have some appeal. I mean, he's explosive. He's strong. You think about him in a penetration style role, it really would make sense. I mean, at the end of the day, he's 277. I mean, he's built to play, he's wants to play edge, and you know, he, instead of adding weight, he's trimmed down a bit, and I think he's truly an edge. So I think that he gives you inside rush potential for sure. But to me, he's a true 4-3 base end, that can play inside on rush downs. Don't think he can hold up in terms of anchoring against the run on the interior. Do I think the Bills might take Jeffrey Simmons at 40? I think they should, because I think Jeffrey Simmons, if he's healthy, is a top 10 pick in this class. I don't know if the Bills will take him at 40 because, number one, you do have to take the redshirt year on him because he's tore his ACL and he's not going to be able to help you in 2019. But then also the character stuff, not that he hasn't been terrific teammate and everything's been fine at Mississippi State. There's plenty of people that speak well of him, but there's video of him with a domestic issue where, you know, he was beating a woman, and that's bad. That's not good. And that is not something I necessarily think the Bills would be quick to invest in at any point in the draft. Corey McLennan says, how realistic do you think it is that the Bills pursue Gerald McCoy? Would they be willing to part with a draft pick? What would it cost? I think the Bills should pursue Gerald McCoy. That would be very much what I'm looking for at defensive tackle. Penetration style player, a veteran. I think he'd just naturally fit into that 3 technique role. And he's got a situation here where Tampa, if they keep him, you know, they basically are on the hook for a lot of money over the next 3 years. And they can part with him and really not have to deal with that. And they're a team that's somewhat in a rebuild mode. I think there's some disappointment in Gerald McCoy that hasn't been a better leader for the team. So yeah, I think there's a chance, right, that they could move on from him. I would be willing to part with the draft pick. Yes, I would. Especially one of those day three picks. You know, you see these trades now in the league, you know, teams are just giving away veterans for fifth, sixth round picks. So yeah, I do that in a heartbeat. And I think the Bills are in a good cap position to be able to absorb that contract. So I think that would happen. I think that it would be a moderate day three pick, and it'd be something that would fill a need in a big, big way for the Bills. Scotty Boy says, hey, Joe, what are your thoughts on Yanni Kajust? He seems like he might be a good sleeper pick for the third round. That's the West Virginia offensive tackle. I like Yanni Kajust a lot. Very physical player. Has that edge that the Bills have been talking about for their offensive linemen. I think he moves well. The concern with him, and I think he has the profile of a starter at the next level. He just had quad surgery, so he's going to be out 3 months, which is not that big of a deal, but he had season-ending injuries in 2015 and 2016, both regarding his knee. So kind of compiling these injuries, and you know, that makes me a little bit nervous. He does have some technical work to do, particularly with his footwork and his set points and with his kick slide. So you know, I like Yodney. If the injuries weren't there, I'd talk about him at 40. I would. But I think the injury stuff, and then you combine that with, you know, some of the learning curve that I think is ahead for Yodney. He's a player that I probably, you know, don't think as highly of right now as I did maybe a couple months ago. Third round, though, I mean, yeah, I think that it's something. I mean, if he was around in the third round, I think that'd be something I'd really have to consider. Charlie Gross says, with all the attention paid to upgrading the offensive line and free agency, the Bills won't take an offensive lineman in the first four rounds. I see what you're saying there. I mean, at what point have you added enough to the offensive line? I mean, it's a ton of guys. Ty Insecki, John Feliciano, Mitch Moore, Spencer Long, Ladrian Waddle. I mean, you already got Teller, and you've got Dukas and Bodine and Dawkins. I mean, McDermott's in the fray. They like Ike Boker. Like, that's so many names, right? So at the same time, there's not necessarily, you don't look at that group and say, wow, there's a lot of really exciting young talent, right? I know that Mitch Morse is a very proven veteran, anchor of the offensive line. Dawkins is that young, exciting piece. Teller, right? He's okay. He was okay as a rookie fifth-round pick. So while they've added some veterans that I think will be able to plug in and help them, you know, where's the real young pieces? But, you know, I think Bobby Johnson already has a difficult time right now trying to piece this all together, how to figure out which five should start, what positions, which eight or nine should make the team. I mean, there's a lot of work ahead. And you compound that in a good way by adding an offensive lineman within the first four rounds. But, Charlie, I see what you're saying here. Like, at what point has there been enough investments made? That's fair. Jack Luck says, as Monday's show was all about pre-draft visits, how much is it real versus how much is a smokescreen in your experience? I saw this question and I did a little prep on this. I looked at last year's list of pre-draft visitors. And from the list that I found, which looked to be pretty comprehensive, the Bills drafted two players in 2018 that they had in for pre-draft visits. And they were both the first-round picks, Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds. None of the other picks last year were in for visits. And, you know, I've heard a lot of different things from teams. There's some strategies involved here where, you know, some years they intentionally won't draft anybody that they bring in for visits. So they're aware of this. They're aware of this dynamic of, you know, look, well, you can condense the list of players the Bills are going to draft or any team's going to draft to the 30 pre-draft visits. But then there is that element of a smokescreen. So, you know, I think that for the Bills, they strike me as a team that would really want to spend that time and would, you know, risk strategy for the expense of really knowing who they're getting. And you really get that opportunity by bringing them into your town for a visit. So I can see it mattering a lot for the Bills. But I mean, the reality is only two picks last year were pre-draft visits. And then I do know for a fact that other teams literally have visits with guys they're not going to draft, or they bring in guys for information about other players, teammates and stuff like that. So there's so many angles there. I think it matters. It says something, but at the same time, you just don't know. Right. I probably made you more confused there with that answer. Di Summer says, sorry, second of the week, but John Warrow alluded to the fact he's been told it's more likely the Bills trade up than down. If this relates to the first round, who is the likely target and how far do you think they would move up? Yeah, we, you know, Di, we've talked about this, right? Like, to me, 10 draft picks, they've already signed 15 players this offseason, unrestricted free agents. Is there going to be 25 new players on the team? It's a lot, right? So I do think trading up seems likely. And look at the Bills last year. They moved up for Edmonds. They moved up for Allen. So the Bills aren't afraid to move up, especially high in the draft. Now, they last year they had two twos and two threes and two fours. They had more premium capital last year, but they still have two fours, two fives, and two sevens. So, you know, I don't think the Bills are going into this draft saying we need to make 10 picks. So, yeah, I do think they can move up. If we're talking in the first round, Quinnen Williams, right? I kind of keep going back to Quinnen as – and you guys keep going back to Quinnen as that guy that's worth trading up for. What about Josh Allen, the edge rusher from Kentucky? Outside of the fact that it'd be kind of cool to have two Josh Allens, he's a really talented edge rusher that fits the prototype and gives the Bills a much needed speed dynamic off the edge. So, you know, those are the two names that come to mind when it comes to trade up targets for the Bills. JRM says, what trade packages should we expect if the Bills move down to 11 to 17 and what players should be on the board? Conversely, they may, they could also move back into the first from 40 to 21, 32. What would those picks cost to move up and who would you want? So I had done a little bit of work on this to compare deals that have been done in the past. And so like last year, the Bills moved up from 12 to 7 with Tampa Bay. That cost them 53 and 56. The Cardinals moved up from 15 to 10 with Oakland. That cost them 79 and 52. That was a third and a fifth. So if the Bills move back from 9 to 14 or 15, you can probably expect a 3 in a 5 or a 2 and a 4, something like that. In order for the Bills to move up from like 40 to the 20s, you're probably talking about obviously 40 and probably 73, maybe something more. I mean, so you're probably going to deplete your day two capital if you move back into the first round, which is okay, right? I mean, if you get a premium player, you might be okay with that. If the Bills were to move back into the teens or 20s, the players that come to mind are probably Noah Fant, Iowa tight end, Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle, Clemson, Cleveland Farrell, defensive end, Clemson, Jonah Williams, offensive tackle, Alabama, and N'Keal Harry, wide receiver, Arizona State, DK Metcalf, wide receiver, Ole Miss, and A.J. Brown, wide receiver from Ole Miss. Those seem to be the most logical players that there's some reason to believe based on either visits or size profiles that and needs, you know, that the Bills would target. Greg Thompson, good friend of the pod, alumni of the pod. He says, who is your top remaining free agent? Do you think it's likely Bean signs anyone further of substance? And then he listed Quentin Spain, Timmy Jernigan, and Ndamukong Suh. I came up with three names, Greg, that make sense to me. And Ndamukong Suh does. I don't know what he's looking to get paid. He seems like a paycheck guy, right? So, like, if you're willing to pay Suh, he'll come, right? I mean, but how does he fit, right? Is he really fit? Is that the mentality the Bills are looking for? Ziggy Ansah makes sense if the medicals check out with his shoulder, which we'll know more about here very soon. And then I came up with another name, Muhammad Wilkerson. You guys know him from the Jets, and he was with the Packers last year, and then he had an ankle injury last October that actually required multiple surgeries. So kind of concerning there. But if his medicals check out, it makes sense to me. So, you know, I think at this state in the game, I don't get too excited about the free agent options. There's a reason they're still available. And I think the best way the Bills are going to improve this roster the rest of the way is either a trade or through the NFL draft. Matt says, would you rather have Brian Burns or Montez Sweat at number 9? Now, if you're asking me, I would rather have Brian Burns. Very, very, by a lot, actually. I think Burns, I've talked about him a lot. I think that he's the best pass rusher in the class. His blend of length, flexibility, burst, pass rush repertoire, vision, everything. I think he does everything in terms of rushing the passer. I think he can really do well for himself in space. Very versatile defender. I don't think you're going to want him playing, you know, base 4-3 end, holding up against offensive tackles in run fits. That's not going to be his ideal role, but I think he can play in space. You can have him slash through gaps. You know, if your defense doesn't fit Brian Burns, then something's wrong with your defense. He's a good football player. Corbone says, with other team needs in mind and a chance that multiple teams take quarterback in the top 10, could you see Quinn and Williams fall to us? It happened in a couple of mock drafts on the Draft Network. Yeah. I would be really surprised if Quinnen gets to 9 just because I think he's one of the best two players in the draft. And you're right. I mean, you could see 3 quarterbacks go and a variety of other things happen that could push him down. But I don't think – I could not imagine it. Now, if Quinnen goes to the Bills at 9 – then you send help, send medical help, because I'm going to faint. Because that is, I mean, that's just the dream. That's the dream of elite talent at a position of need and a complete steal. So I can see why you would think it, but I think that Quinnen Williams skill set is going to trump need for a lot of those teams, or at least it should. Buffalo Bills UK says, what smaller school prospects at any position do you think the Bills could draft or make an impact? I came up with three, and I tried not to extend. I wanted to go at least FCS level, but there was one non-Power 5 player that I came up with. Colin Saunders, defensive tackle from Western Illinois. Talked about him on yesterday's podcast. I'm a big fan. I think he's a wrecking ball type player, a guy that can really get on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Very physical, very athletic. He's the guy that does backflips. He really showed up well at the Senior Bowl. I think that in the third round, you can really get a nice player there. Cahal Waring, tight end from San Diego State. He's interesting to me. I think if the Bills miss out on, one of those top three, either of the Iowa tight ends or Irv Smith, that Waring would be a very good consolation prize, potentially in the third round. Developing prospect. He's a former walk-on to San Diego State, only played like 1 year of high school football. And you can just see that there's an exciting ceiling there based on his physical upside and the flashes he put on film. Bruce Anderson, running back from North Dakota State. Like him a ton. In terms of that pass catching role, I think he's got some raw vision, but he's very elusive and he catches the football extremely well. And I think that he can be day three guy that fills that receiving back upside. Di Summers again says, who are the best pass catching running backs in this year's class? And you see them becoming a priority for Dable's game plan. Screens and checkdowns that haven't been prevalent so far. But then neither has an offensive line that can allow for plays to develop. Yeah, so I think, when I had Phoebe Schechter on the pod of several weeks ago, she talked about Josh Allen just kind of wanting to stretch the field so often that sometimes he would just disregard that he's got a wide open check down right in front of him. And so I think with Josh being the starter from day one this year, having more volume of plays at their disposal, that you're going to see the Bills and Josh Allen be more comfortable hitting those check down options. Let's not forget that LeSean McCoy can catch the football just fine. So I do understand that it would be nice to have a guy with that niche type thing, but LeSean McCoy is a perfectly fine receiving back. So let's not dismiss him. But I do have a list of running backs that I think are good pass catchers. These are various points in the draft. Josh Jacobs, Alabama; Miles Sanders, Penn State; David Montgomery, Iowa State; Justice Hill, Oklahoma State; James Williams, Washington State. He's a receiving specialist. Bruce Anderson, who I just talked about; Mike Weber, Ohio State; Travis Homer from Miami. I think those are some of my favorite guys that can specifically catch the football. Now, they do other things well, but I really like their hands and their ability to run routes. Vinny Piscopio, he says, do you think Ed Oliver lined up next to Star at three technique instead of nose tackle like in college? Some of his weaknesses would go away. What are the weaknesses we're talking about? I did hate that, right? He played right over the center in a two-gapping role, and he's a penetration-style three-tech. So I didn't like that at Houston. And I do think that, yeah, him being a three-tech would be much better for his skill set. So that does make me excited. I think that Star and Ed are very good complementary players where you have a plug and a penetration style player. That's what I'm looking for in my defensive tackle pairing in a three tech. And, it's funny because I was at the Houston ECU game and I was talking to an NFL scout about Ed Oliver, and he's like, man, he's almost like one of those 50 front nose tackles. I don't know if you guys remember like football in the 80s and 70s and stuff, they put up five man fronts and they just have every single play, they'd have a head over a guy right over center, and his job was just to smash the center every single play. And I mean, from a classic perspective, that's kind of what Ed Oliver is. I think that, he's kind of a throwback in that regard. But yeah, in today's NFL, this guy's a three technique all day long. All right, a few more to get here. We got Jeffrey Darrow. He said, should the Bills trade up back into the first round, just in front of New England, if Irv Smith is still on the board? With Gronk retiring, don't feel like he's going to be available at 40. Yeah, so you feel like if you weren't going to go tight end earlier in the first round with the Bills, whether that was at 9 or a trade back, that Irv Smith was kind of like the dream at 40. The familiarity with Dable, the big need that the Bills also have a tight end for kind of that long-term answer. Now with Gronk retiring and kind of that perceived belief that the Patriots are going to want him, you probably got to get in front of him to make sure you can get him. And so what is that going to take, right? You're going to give up 40 and 73 to get to 28? It's probably what it's going to take. So I like some of the other tight ends in this year's class. Like, to me, Irv Smith isn't like got to have him. Like, the draft will be defined on whether or not we get Irv Smith. I'd like to get, you know, a defensive tackle and an edge and, a, you know, another and a tight end. There's a lot that I would want to get done. So to me, I don't know. Like, it, to me, I might just sit there at 40 and take Jay Sternberger, or at 73 get Cahal Waring. So I'm a little bit less likely there, but I would understand it. I would. Aaron Wagner says, what are some real possibility for the Bills to trade back with? What type of compensation would you expect, and would it be worth it? He's looking at Washington, Green Bay, Atlanta, and Cincinnati. Well, those teams would have to have somebody they'd want to move up for. Washington seems pretty likely because they're at 15. If they were to get to 9, that would put them in front of Denver and Cincinnati if they wanted to get Drew Locke or Dwayne Haskins if they were to slide. Atlanta would probably want to move up for Ed Oliver, and if he was on the board at 9, I'd hope the Bills drafted Ed Oliver. Green Bay, they're at, what, 12? So the Bills moved to 9 to 12. Guessing they would want to move up for, like, a Brian Burns. Maybe they'd want to go get Hockenson. So, yeah, there's possibilities with those teams. I kind of go back to that Cardinals deal with Oakland last year. 15 to 10 cost them a third and a fifth round pick. So that's what you're probably looking at getting there, 3 and a 5. The next one comes from Noah Aderman. I know Noah very well. He says, do you think that the Bills would make any attempt to trade for Tyreek Hill with the recent stuff that came out? I know he's not a McMean guy, but with the Kareem Hunt exit and the attempt for AB, I think anything is on the table. I'd be really surprised if the Bills would do that. I don't know that the Bills would have much appetite to go after Tyreek Hill. I feel like he's probably a skill set that, you know, I mean, Tyreek's a special player, don't get me wrong, but I feel like they probably feel like they have a guy in John Brown / Robert Foster that can probably do a lot of those things, and you don't have necessarily that concern with the off-field stuff. So I don't necessarily think the Chiefs are going to be quick to trade him, and I don't know that the Bills would be the team that would bring him in. And I think Antonio Brown's concerns are very different than Tyreek Hill's concerns. So when I'm not sure that I look at AB, the Bills' interest in AB, and say, well, now they're willing to do anything. Last one here comes from Matt. Matt says, does Ed Oliver's pro day boost his stock, or does arm length still hurt him? Well, I think that Ed really confirmed a lot of the things that we believed about him, that he's very explosive and his quickness is unbelievable, and that he's a good athlete. And, you know, all that stuff's really good. Now, his short shuttle was historically great. Like, I mean, ridiculous. So maybe he's even more explosive than we thought. So I'm not sure that it moved the needle for his draft stock. I think that he's very much deserving of a top 10 pick. I mean, the top 15 at the latest. But yeah, I think when I talk about the Bills specifically, yeah, it's the arm length that leads me to believe that I'm a little nervous that the Bills would actually draft him, because he's got sub 32 inch arms, which is well below the threshold. So that's my concern with the Bills. I think that his athletic profile and his ability to be a penetration style player, a very dynamic one, should really open your eyes to, all right, I know we like guys with long arms, but he's got enough other stuff that I'm willing to make an exception here. So that is going to do it for us today, guys. Water Cooler Wednesday on tap for you tomorrow. Got a great guest lined up for that. And then I actually have another guest lined up for, not sure if it's going to be Friday or Monday yet, but another guest here that I'm excited about. So getting some different opinions on the show, and we'll get your opinions on the show again next Tuesday. So make sure you, again, send in those Twitter Tuesdays to me at TheJoeMarino using hashtag Twitter Tuesday. Until tomorrow, thank you so much for listening to Locked On Bills.